reading to you from the 14th chapter of Mark and with the 62nd verse. And Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 48 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and instead of me living in Seattle as a roofing contractor, I surrendered my life, and I've been sharing the Lord ever since. Am I a perfect Christian? No. Have I made mistakes? You bet I have. But do I love Jesus? You can bank on it. He's the one that took me out of the sewer, out of the gutter, and gave me a new life. Oh, friends, listen. I want to talk tonight about gifts to the church. There's so many people are confused about the gifts, and they're lying to people. They're confusing people, but God's word is very plain, very simple, what the gifts are and who they're given to and what they're supposed to accomplish. Well, listen, I'll be with you for 29 minutes. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or lemonade. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 4th chapter of Ephesians, and let's begin reading with the 11th verse. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now I want you to notice one word, the word gave. He gave some apostles and prophets. Every believer's gift is Christ-centered. It is Christ and Christ alone who gives spiritual gifts to men. Men cannot work up the gifts nor give the gifts to other men. Christ alone possesses a spiritual gift to give to men. Now listen, I know one denomination that spends all their time getting people to work up the gifts of God. Friends, it won't happen. Only Jesus gives the gifts to man. If you have a problem, what I suggest you do is take your Bible and search the scriptures. You know, there are rules that we must abide by when we hold prison services. We are not to bring our denomination to the prison. We are not to bring a certain doctrine, but we are to bring Jesus. But there are some groups who do not abide with the rules. Thus, the prison will not let them hold service there. And I totally, totally agree. I tell those men and women, look at, I'm not bringing my church or my denomination here. And the reason I say that is because my church cannot save you. My denomination can't save you. I can't save you. Only Jesus. And friends, when we get that ingrained in our hearts and mind, then we'll start learning something about Christ. You see, folks, Christ loves his church. He and he alone is the builder of the church. And I read in Matthew 16:18, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, the Catholics say that Peter was the first pope. He wasn't a pope, and it never says that in the Bible. For one thing, Peter was married. Now, how do you explain that? Oh, friends, there's so much that people are taught down through the years, and they believe it, and they never take the time to look in the Bible and find out for themselves. After I surrendered to preach, or even before I surrendered to preach, I had so many questions that I wanted to know the answers. I'd call my pastor, and I'd call my deacons, or our deacons, and I'd talk to my Sunday school teacher. And my pastor kept saying, Cecil, we can tell you anything you want to hear. Excuse me. But you have to find it in the Word of God. That's what the Bible is for. It's for instruction and corrections so that we'll know right from wrong. In Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So you see, Christ bought and paid for the church with his life. Now, Christ bestowed gifts of the church. And in Ephesians 4:8, wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up into high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, Christ gave five great gifts to the church. He gave the apostles, prophets, to establish the church. He gave evangelists, pastors, and teachers to develop the church, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These are our concerns today. How should these three gifts affect our churches today? Evangelists should enlarge and inspire the church. Now, Philip was the first to be called an evangelist. He was also appointed a deacon. In Acts 21:8, Paul called him an evangelist. Philip the evangelist was a soul winner. He had become a preacher of the gospel. And dear friends, if God has called you to be an evangelist and you're not a soul winner, you're only kidding yourself. Because you see, friends, evangelists aren't perfect people, and there's bad evangelists and there's good evangelists. But let me tell you what, I'm the first one to say that a pastor's job is 10,000 times harder than my job. My job is to go into the prisons and bring unto them Christ and show them by the Word of God whether we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that if we want to get to heaven, we must repent of our sins and trust Jesus. That's the gospel in a nutshell. That's the way it is. He was directed by the Lord to a seeking center. Remember out there in that Ethiopian, way out there in the Tulis? And Philip pulled up beside him, and he said, what are you reading there? He said, I'm reading from the Bible, from the book. He said, do you understand? And he said, no one's ever sat down and told me. So he crawled up in that little old cart, and he preached unto him Jesus. And he led that seeking sinner to Christ. Philip was a traveling evangelist. Evangelists win souls and motivates soul winners. After I was called to preach and the Lord revealed my call to me, I began to train laywomen how to lead souls to Christ. The first church that I pastored, I put an ad in the town paper, Soul Winning Study Course, Bible Studies. All denominations came. I didn't know my right hand from my left. People from churches all over the area came for these studies. Boy, I learned a lot through these experiences, believe me. There was two young men from this one particular church, and not my denomination. They called me one day and they said, Preacher, we went through that Bible study with you, and we learned a lot, but we don't know if it's going to work. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, we have a man over here, an alcoholic, and we'd like to have you go with us and show us how to do it. I said, I'd be proud to do it. We went over there, and folks, this is the truth. Those two guys sat there, and they talked about the weather. They talked about the baseball score. They talked about everything but Jesus. I let them sweating their stew for about a half an hour. Pretty soon I turned to this alcoholic and I said, sir, I'd like to tell you a true story. Oh, I'd like to tell you a story about a man I used to know. I said he was an alcoholic, and I went through my whole testimony in the person and the second person. Pretty soon I noticed tears dripping out of that old man's eyes. And I said, "Sir, would you like to have what this man had that I told the story about?" "Oh, yes," he said, "I would." I said, "You see, I'm that man. I know what I'm talking about. I, too, was a drunk, no-good alcoholic. But," I said, "I heard one day that Christ died for my sins, and that by accepting him, I could have peace with God. And when my life is over, I'll get to go to heaven." And the four of us, we knelt there, and that dear old alcoholic cried out to God, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." When we went outside, those two young men were walking on a cloud. They said, "Cecil, we never believed it was that way." I said, "The devil has made it so difficult." I said, "What we need, if we present Jesus in the right spirit," I said, "he's gonna respond, or she'll respond." Well, pastors should give and exhort the church. See, pastors must lead the church as shepherds. They must lead the church in Bible study. They must lead the church in evangelism. And they must lead the church in prayer. You know, there's nothing any sadder to go to a prayer meeting and the pastor get up with a little, I call it the Reader's Digest, a sermonette, and then one person pray, they go home. Friends, a prayer meeting, people ought to pray. And they ought to pray a lot. But a lot of people should be praying at home as well in church, you know. And a lot of people, they save all their prayers for church. But listen, friends, pastors must love the church. Without love, preaching is but noise, according to Scripture. And without love, leadership becomes dictatorial. Without love, counseling is but a futile therapy. Pastors must love the church. 2 Corinthians 4:2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. People are often beaten down with circumstances. Pastors are to exhort or encourage them, build them up. Teachers should instruct and challenge the church. You know, the church at Antioch had many teachers, Acts 13:1. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. No wonder it had become a missionary church. Teachers, excuse me, broaden the vision and understanding of believers. You know, friends, I used to travel almost 3 times a month to preach in Roanoke, Virginia, in that area. But I used to go at the first church at the early service before I went to my service. There was a medical doctor who was the greatest teacher I'd ever heard in my life. See, if you don't get to the class early, you would not even get in. Teachers also evangelize and bring converts to maturity. Oh, friends, if you're a teacher, you have a high calling. Don't take your Sunday school book to your class and sit there and say, "Well, Dr. So-and-so said this, Dr. So-and-so." Use what the Holy Spirit's give you, your common sense. Read from the Bible. Now, of course, I'm not knocking Sunday school literature. Don't get me wrong. And you can get some good ideas. But let the Holy Spirit open your heart and teach you. If you lack wisdom, you ask him and he'll give it to you. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. D.L. Moody was led to Christ by a Sunday school teacher, and look how God used that great man with very little education. The church with effective teachers builds strong members. Churches are equipped by Jesus for growth and success. The gifts given them enable them to make the difference. Listen, friends. He gives these gifts. Now, He gives them, remember, God gave these gifts so that the church may grow and the church may, years and years and years ago, my wife and I, my family were down in North Carolina, way up in the hills. And on this Sunday, I said, let's go to this country church. Folks, listen, here was a great big old church out there in the Tules, and men and women were in overalls and bonnets, and barefooted, a lot of them. And I thought, boy, this is going to be interesting. Well, the pastor wasn't there that day. They had no preacher. And all of a sudden, a man stood up and he said, "Why?" And he had overalls on. Well, he said, "I'm not a very bright man, but I want to tell you a little bit about Jesus." Oh, my beloved friends, what a message from that plain and simple countryman. He knew more about Jesus than a lot of our doctors of divinity. He sure did. And I was so touched and so moved to hear that from somebody that didn't think he was very smart. Oh, listen, friends, God's looking for humble Christians. He don't want lazy Christians. He want humble people, men that realize that, like John said, that he needs to back down a little bit and bring Jesus forth. Now, this message was mostly for Christians and churches, but I would not close this message without first giving the lost an invitation to come to Christ. I do the work of an evangelist, and I have made full proof of my calling. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Here's a warning. Here's a real warning, dear friend. The Spirit of God will not always strive with man whereby man must be saved. Let me ask you, friend, is he tugging at your heart tonight? Oh, friends, if he's tugging at your heart, maybe you are a pastor who have become discouraged or disheartened. Oh, pastor, friend of mine, don't give up. Don't throw in your hand. Ask the Lord to anoint you and to put that love in your heart for those who are lost. Friend, when I go to prison and look at the face of those men and those women, my heart, just something happens to me. Because I realize that I was there too one time. And I knew Jesus did something for me. Now, friends, if you're like to pray the most powerful prayer ever prayed, bow your head. Don't you dare pray this if you're not serious. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart tonight and save me. For Jesus' sake, I pray. Amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Dear friends, I don't care where you go to church, but oh, I'm so concerned where you spend eternity. Hell is forever. Eternal life in heaven is forever. Get on the phone if you feel I can help you. 471-8534. By this sunrise.
by trusting in His power, rich blessings He will shower. Oh, praise His name. It seems so He shows me in His Word such things I've never heard. I'm free now as a bird that flies above. Now every day I know His
I think it's time I give him my mailing address, which is 9621 South Burberry Lane. That's 9621 South Burberry Lane, Highlands Ranch, 80129. If you'd like to stand with us, dear friends, with our prison ministries, just sit down and write a check, a money order to Mo Evangelistic Association. Write on that check, prisons. And that's what it'll be used for. We're going to be traveling real hard this next 2 or 3 months. So if you could stand with us, we would surely, surely appreciate it. Now let's listen to the prison quartet we met many years ago. They're all out now, and one's a pastor of a church, believe it or not.
Wash your sins as white as snow through His grace. No matter what you might have done, if you believe and trust His Son, the pardoning power of our God is in this place. The cleansing power yield yourself and let Him in. The cleansing power of our God is in this place. The healing power of our God is in this place. All pain and sorrow shall flee from His face. Said what He will do if we in faith just ask Him to. The healing power of our God is in this place. His word has said what He will do if we in faith just ask Him to.
Dear friends, listen. You say rehabilitation doesn't count. One of these men was saved when he went to the state prison. The other three were not. All the other three of them were saved in state prison, in a federal prison, I should say, and they're living successful lives. I hear so much comment about, oh, they pamper those prisons, they do that, they do this. You spend 23 hours in a little bitty cooped up cell, and you're out, let out an hour. The food is not the greatest, I'll assure you. But friends, I know that when we lead people to Christ, and if they go out of that prison and start living for Jesus, I'll tell you right now, you'll see some tremendous men. Some of the greatest men and women I've ever met in my life came through the prison facilities. They were convicts. But God saved them, and God brought them out of that prison and made some of their lives. Please pray for our ministry. Oh, dear friends, we need your prayers so much. And pray for Bill and I as we go to the Denver Rescue Mission, that we'll be a blessing to those men and women. And I tell you right now, friends, there's a lot to be done. The labors are few, and we're not the biggest or the best, but we're doing as good as we can to help win men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, friends, for the past 29 minutes, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening, and I pray that we might have said something that would encourage your heart or make you realize, if you're lost, that you need to put your trust in Christ as Savior. Friends, listen, I'm not on this broadcast for entertainment. I want people to hear. There's so many false religions and false prophets in the world today. I'm asking you to take the Bible and look in there for yourself. Ask the Lord, what is truth? The Bible said the truth shall set you free. Now, I know those Muslims really, really believe they're doing the right thing. They believe there's a God, Allah. They say when they die, there's 10 or 6 virgins waiting for those young men. Friends, where they're going is a burning hell. Not because Cecil Moe said it, but because the Bible said it. They don't have to go to hell. They don't have to kill infidels. They don't have to kill Christians or Jews. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, please pray for my wife and I, and pray for my health, that God will give me the strength, and my wife the strength, and the quartet to go to all these places, and that God would supply our finances to do it. So until this time next Sunday night, be good to your neighbor, stay sweet, keep looking up. For this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night. May God bless you real, real good.